Congressman Bill Owens, tell me about sequestration.
Alan, this is a very unfortunate situation we've gotten to. I think the idea when the Budget Control Act was put in place was to put pressure on both parties. It hasn't worked, and now we're going to be moving into a situation in which there will be really substantial cuts to virtually every government program, whether you're talking about the military or Medicare, although to some extent various subsets of that have been protected in the bill. We're still going to see huge cuts to virtually every program. One thing I do want to tell your listeners is that we are not in a situation where Social Security will be cut. Those checks will still be coming out.
So what's the way around this? You're a, kindly put, and I mean this and respectfully, you're a blue dog Democrat, which means you're a conservative Democrat. You come from a conservative district, you're a conservative guy. That's good. But obviously, it's going to have to come from somewhere, the money, in order to start to balance the budget. And if sequestration isn't the answer, and I agree with you that it's not, then what is?
Well, you know, Alan, I've talked about a number of things that I think are significant. One, in terms of Medicare, is we could allow Medicare to negotiate its own pharmaceutical purchases. You're talking about a number in the $40 billion range. A year. We could move forward with the Affordable Care Act provisions that go to preventive care for seniors. There's estimates out there that say that that's worth somewhere between $5 and $15 billion a year if we kept people out of the hospital, and we did, we functioned in a very pragmatic way. You know, you take $50 billion out of $50 to $55 billion out of Medicare, you're taking 10% out. Without affecting any benefits to any beneficiary, there is no negative impact. So we need to look at those things first. The General Accountability Office has told us that there's $100 billion annually we could take out of our expenditures simply by managing what the government does better. My view is that we should be saying to every department, you need to cut your budget by somewhere between 1% and 3%. We then need to make sure that the additional revenue that we're getting gives us a situation where we have $1.2 trillion in cuts. This is a solvable problem if people walked away from their ideology and focused on how you do this, and I'm going to use a somewhat Republican term, but in a business-like manner. Business-like manner means to me logical and thoughtful and practical. It doesn't mean some ideological twist on how you interact with beneficiaries.
So give me an example. When you say if they would walk away from the ideological side, give me an example from both sides of what might be ideological.
Well, clearly from the Democratic side, it's talking about increasing revenues without decreasing expenditures. For instance, we talk a little bit about the minimum tax on people making over $1 million, the Buffett rule, if you will. Now, I happen to think that's reasonable, that is not an inappropriate thing to do. But that, to me, is an area where we probably need to compromise to figure out what the right number is. On the Republican side of the aisle, it is this idea that you can simply shift costs, like Mr. Ryan would like to do under Medicare, and he's going to propose a budget which does essentially the same thing again. But that's a cost-shifting mechanism. It is not a cost-reducing mechanism. And we need to focus on cost reduction and improved outcomes.
So what you're suggesting sounds, you know, a little Pollyannish in that you say, if only everybody would walk away from the ideological and just get down to business. And yet, this is a zero-sum game. Both sides want to control the House of Representatives. Both sides want to make the other side look bad. Both sides want the issues. So, you know, I mean, you say what should be done, but how realistic is it?
Well, unfortunately, I think that your analysis is correct, that people are not willing to do that for just the reasons you stated. But I will tell you that you know, with a couple of the groups that I'm involved with, I'm involved with the No Labels group. which is really trying to bring together D's and R's so that we can find kind of a middle ground. I belong to another group of about 14 people trying to do the same thing. There's some overlap in those groups. Clearly, what we have to do is get to a point where people are willing to stand up and say, I'm not going to vote for this in a sufficient enough number that it would actually affect the outcome. And you're correct. Unless that happens, we're not going to move the ball.
Now, you don't have to be Einstein to see that the Republicans really got hurt in the last election. Things changed. The Tea Party had done really well the time before. Last time we had immigration and women, and it now turns around that the Republicans turn around and almost as if they were doing an about-face in the Boy Scouts, and they say, we better get ourselves some of that. Has that hurt them?
Well, you know, I think people, the public, looks at things much more realistically than I think people inside the Beltway give them credit for. One of the things that I've found as I've gone around, I've tried to be myself when I'm with people, and doesn't mean that they always agree with what I'm saying, doesn't mean that they like me necessarily, but I don't think they come away with a feeling that I'm telling them what they want to hear versus telling them what I think either is going to happen or what I think should happen. And I think not enough of us do that. We need to be communicating that way with people. And I do think when you suddenly change course and say, well, now this is okay when it wasn't before, I think the public gets that.
Which means that the Republicans are sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, you know, if you had the, it looked real good for them when they took the House, and the conservative movement in America looked alive and well. And when you had, you know, a fat guy with a tie go on the radio and talk about immigration being a really bad thing and got to get them and that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden they have to make this change. So they bring up Marco Rubio as their answer to the president when he did the State of the Union. But how bereft will they be in terms of bringing the two parts of their constituencies together?
You know, I don't know, and I say that in all sincerity, because where I live, I think the people are largely pragmatic and evaluate issues. So it's a little difficult for me to understand the mindset in some of the other districts that may exist around the country where people take very hard lines on issues that, in my view, are simply not practical or pragmatic.
They tried to beat you. You're a Democrat. It's got a lot of Republicans in the district, and they tried to beat you, and they weren't able to. And I guess that supports what you've been saying all along, that, you know, you just lay it out and that people will follow you if you've got the right stuff.
That's my view. That is my view of the world, and I think it's my view of how you lead. And I truly believe that the vast majority of people, the vast majority, are looking for answers. They understand the issues are complicated, but they're looking for pragmatic answers.
It's great to talk to Bill Owens. Congressman, it's wonderful that you're there. And when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about how come I'm not going to be able to get mail on Saturdays.
All right. Take care, Alan. Thank you.